In the Bible, God uses storms for at least two reasons. First, to correct us. That's what a runaway prophet named Jonah learned while sailing in the opposite direction God told him to go. God also uses storms to perfect us. Jesus sent his disciples into a stormy adventure across the Sea of Galilee twice, knowing that a sudden squally would roll across the northern shore, challenge their faith, and help them better understand Jesus. Jesus who calmed the raging storm in the nick of time by speaking to it. Bewildered, the disciples said, "Who is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We learn some things about Jesus only in a storm. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Are you going through one of life's storms today? Dr. Ron Jones wants to help you navigate your way through it with courage and grace. Hi, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good Radio. Today, Ron takes us once again to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. As you follow along, you won't be surprised to learn that he is facing yet another in a long line of challenges. Let's look closely at the way the Apostle handles himself during this storm. As Ron moves ahead in his teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace. Online, you'll find us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. From Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, Navigating the Perfect Storm.
We often use weather storms as a metaphor to describe our journeys through life, don't we? Indeed, life gets stormy at times, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard a big amen in the first service. This one, you know, yeah, either, you know, you're just not there, or maybe you're not going through a storm right now, but most of us go through what we might describe as stormy times. Sometimes it feels like we're going through an emotional hurricane because of what we're experiencing. Now, to use the hurricane analogy, inside the eye of the storm, it's relatively calm and maybe a bit deceiving. And we can feel safe in the eye of the storm, but we know that, you know, the winds can whip up rather quickly and the waters can get choppy relatively quickly. And that forces us to maybe shelter in place, however we do that. Sometimes storms are financial, sometimes they're medical, they're physical, sometimes they're relational. A storm brewing between two friends or two business associates or, oh, even between two church members. I've been in a few church storms before, and they're never fun. Neither are those turbulent times in a marriage or those tempestuous family life experiences. I mean, we've all been through those kinds of storms at times. I've learned that it's difficult to forecast the storms of life. You know, meteorologists may be able to look ahead and say, hey, a storm is coming, but you don't always know when a life storm is coming. But one thing is sure, the weather is always changing in our lives. And if you're not coming out of a storm right now or in a storm right now, there's one most likely around the corner that you're not aware of that's brewing. It's just part of life, isn't it? Life gets very stormy. I want us to keep all of that in mind as we return to the book of Acts, because the Apostle Paul was no stranger to storms while sailing the Mediterranean Sea on his gospel journeys. In fact, you may remember when he penned his second letter to the Corinthians and talked about the many dangers, toils, and snares, and challenges, and difficulties that he faced as a missionary. Do you remember these words? He says, three times I was shipwrecked. Three times he was shipwrecked, he says. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Listen, Gilligan has nothing on the Apostle Paul. Not at all. I mean, you know, Gilligan, a three-hour tour, and then, you know, he got a sitcom, all right? Paul was shipwrecked three different times in his ministry, and that's before we get to Acts chapter 27 and 28. Where now there's a fourth time we can say he experiences shipwreck. And this is where Luke mentions that Paul, the prisoner, faced a life-threatening storm as he sailed. Now let's pick up the story here from Caesarea to Italy, where he ports in the southeastern portion of Italy, not far from Naples and the Amalfi Coast, and then makes the long journey on foot as a prisoner in chains to Rome, which he has always wanted to go, to take the gospel to Rome. The question before us today, and the question that's on my heart, is how can we navigate the perfect storms of life and remain safe in the arms of our Savior? How do we do that? Well, we're going to get an example set forth before us by the Apostle Paul, who found himself and a lot of other people on this ship in a storm, a very real, tempestuous storm that tossed them here and there. And we're going to learn a few life lessons from them. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 27 and verse 1, where Luke writes, "And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius, and embarking in a ship of the Adramyttium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica." Now I want to stop right there. I could read on, and it would be verse after verse of a lot of the same kind of descriptive narrative. Luke's record of Paul's sailing adventures seems little more than, at least at first, a travel log with some passenger names, some island locations, and some weather forecasts in there. And it isn't until after I read it two or three or four times and even consulted some commentaries and got some other thoughts on the subject that I began to realize what we see emerging in this story in Acts 27 and 28 in part is the Apostle Paul, who is a prisoner at this time, really shining as a leader who is full of faith in the midst of the storms, while everybody else on the ship were cratering in fear. Hey, how are you going through the storms that you're facing right now? Or how did you the last time you were in a storm? Or how will you when the next storm arises? Will your faith emerge? Will people see that your faith in Jesus Christ is real? That you lean on the promises of God and trust in His presence, even in the midst of a storm? Or will you crater in fear like everybody else and wring your hands wondering, where is God and how am I ever going to get through this time? Now, this is some of what we wrestle with in stormy times, even questioning, is God still near? Is he with me? Well, the Apostle Paul's faith emerges. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Luke says, "We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmon. Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia." Now, this is about the time where I say Paul's type A personality and his leadership skills kind of kick in when they arrive at the section called Fair Havens. Verse 9, "Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast," a reference to the Day of Atonement, "was already over, Paul advised them, saying, 'Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives.' But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there." Now keep in mind, Paul is a prisoner. There are a lot of other prisoners on the ship. He's one of the prisoners, and there are other passengers as well. And Paul steps forward, and he advises the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship and the Roman officials who are in charge that danger is ahead of them if they continue sailing. And I kind of smile a little bit here. I wonder if they might have looked at Paul out of the corner of their eye and thought, you know, who's this prisoner trying to tell us how to sail our ship? You know, go sit down somewhere. But Paul was an experienced sailor. He had been on the Aegean Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. He had been on those waters many, many times. He had been shipwrecked three times. He could look out over the horizon and recognize some of those familiar storm clouds coming. And he warns them, but they did not listen to him. In fact, Luke says the majority decided to put out to sea from there. But frankly, as we read on, we learn that the majority was wrong. Which, by the way, remember the time that Jesus said there are two roads in life? He said there's a wide road. Wide road with lots of people traveling that way leads to death. And there's a narrow road with just a few people walking that leads to eternal life. No, the majority are not always right. Whether you're sailing a ship or, you know, traveling toward eternal life.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Navigating the Perfect Storm. New to the program? If so, we'd like you to know that we archive all of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. When you stop by, use the Partner tab at the top of the homepage to check out the 828 Club, a special group of people who partner with Ron to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the media ministry of Something Good. Join the 828 Club from our website or give us a call at 757-276-1099. That's 757-276-1099. Life is filled with storms. The good news is every storm runs out of rain. Here's Ron with the second half of today's Something Good radio message, Navigating the Perfect Storm.
It should have taken them only a half day to sail the 40 miles from Fair Havens, where they were, down the coast of Crete to a harbor called Phoenix. Instead, it took them 2 full weeks due to this life-threatening storm that raised up. Charles Swindoll at this point observes, as their situation worsened, each leader aboard grew silent and faded from the narrative, leaving Paul as the standout leader. There's the insight, right? I mean, the captain, the owner of the ship, the Roman officials who were guarding the prisoners, they just kind of fade off the scene. I picture them cowering over here in the corner in fear, realizing that their decision to keep on sailing was a poor decision, and now their lives are in danger. Verse 13, now when the south wind blew greatly or gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Are you starting to get seasick here? Running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing they would run aground on the Syrtis, they lowered the gear and thus they were driven along. Luke goes on to say, since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Now, these passengers are in a really difficult spot. And some of them are seasoned, experienced sailors. But they had reached a point where all hope was abandoned, and they feared for their very lives. Now, recently, Catherine and I sailed these same waters, the Mediterranean Sea. We were leading a Something Good travel experience following the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, and there was a portion of that where we sailed the seas and visited the islands. It was a pleasure cruise. It was on a big ship. Had thousands of people on the ship. This was a small sailing vessel, and this was no pleasure cruise. Paul and his passengers here experienced, stormy seas. But it didn't frazzle Paul. That's the the lesson here is that Paul emerged as a seasoned and courageous missionary. When everyone else had lost hope of surviving the storm, Paul saw an opportunity to encourage the passengers with his faith, and his faith in God, his trust in the promises of God, and in the presence of God emerge in a situation like this. Let's read on in verse 21. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, I love this, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Now, this is where you kind of want to, you know, rough him up a little bit. Now, nobody likes a know-it-all and a tell-it-all. You read on, and I don't get the sense that Paul was meaning to, you know, kick them in the chest or poke them in the eye. But he wants to make this point. Verse 22, yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Yeah, right, Paul, come on. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told, but we must run aground on some island. I love the way Paul's faith emerges and he lets others see his faith in God. When you're going through a crisis and it seems from a human perspective that all hope is abandoned and lost, are you over in the corner cowering in fear and wringing your hands and calling up your friends and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do? Or does your faith emerge? And you anchor yourself to the promises of God. You know that he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you, even in the midst of the storm. At this point, I'm reminded of what the psalmist David said in Psalm chapter 139. He's reminiscing about the omnipresence of God, and he asks the rhetorical question, where can I flee from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And you'll never depart from me, he says. David had confidence that no matter where he went and no matter what storms and trials and troubles and difficulties he experienced, God was there. There was never a place, even the bottom of the sea, where God was not. And Paul had that same confidence. He had that same anchor in his soul. And it was the crisis that showed that forth. Maybe the reason you're going through the stormy season you are right now is because God wants to show your faith and put that on display to others who are looking in, who are over in the corner, cowering in fear. So let him put your faith on display. Be assured of God's presence. Provide practical encouragement to people. Express your confidence in the promises of God at times like that. That's when people are leaning in. Now, the owner of the ship and the captain and other passengers were all ears to what Paul had to say. Let's read on in verse 33. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing, 2 full weeks. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all, Luke says, 276 persons in this ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. This scene kind of reminds me of an old Hollywood movie. I found it somewhere and I was watching it a couple weeks ago. It's called The Perfect Storm. You know, George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg were, you know, some of their early acting days, and they were trying to get their fishing boat through Hurricane Grace. And not to spoil the end of it, they didn't make it. You know, Hurricane Grace had 40-foot waves, and it capsized the boat toward the end of the movie, and they sank. to the bottom of the sea. That was the fate that the owner of the ship and the captain and the other passengers probably thought was going to happen to them. But Paul's ship made it through the storm. And his faith made it through the storm as well. In fact, faith is tested in the storm. And in the storm, when fear has, threatens us and steals our tranquility and our peace, it's faith that chases away fear. That's why you got to know that you know that you know who your anchor is, who the anchor of your soul is in stormy times. At daybreak, the sailors ran the ship aground after striking a reef. Yeah, now they're shipwrecked. Fourth shipwreck for the Apostle Paul. But all 276 of the passengers, including Paul, the prisoner, and all the other prisoners, swam safely to a nearby island called Malta. Now we're in chapter 28.
God uses the storms of life to correct us, but also to perfect us. Let adversity produce endurance in you the way it did for the Apostle Paul, because once endurance has its full effect, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You're listening to Something Good Radio with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's message, Navigating the Perfect Storm, along with all of Ron's messages, can be heard on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. Use the radio tab at the top of the homepage. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, take a look at a discipleship coaching experience developed by Dr. Ron Jones called Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Look for Something Good courses at the top of the homepage.
Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio. If you've been with us for a while, if you're a regular listener and God is using this broadcast in your life, I want to speak directly to you. When you first tuned in or streamed Something Good, did you know that other people paid to air that program? We call them our ministry partners. They have people just like you in mind when they donate monthly to Something Good, which is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Now that you're a regular listener, will you do the same? Will you help us share Something Good with someone else? We created the 828 Club for people who choose to partner with this ministry through prayer and monthly financial support. It's based on Romans 8:28, which in the message says, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider joining the 828 Club today by giving $28 or more per month to share something good with someone else. And when you do, we'll send you some resources to help you grow in your relationship with God. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this gospel ministry. So please join the 828 Club today. Here's Brian with all the details.
When you partner with us here at Something Good, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, exploring its amazing secrets. To join the 828 Club today, look for the Partners tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call 757-276-1099. If you can't become a partner but would like to make a donation today, Ron would love to send you his book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Volumes 1 and 2 can be yours on request when you invest $50 or more into the media ministry of Something Good. You'll also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of each volume, as well as video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. For more information, visit somethinggoodradio.org.
Now you've been through multiple storms and you've seen His faithfulness, and you go into these storms a little bit differently. That's where He wants to get us. Sometimes He uses a storm to correct us. Sometimes He uses a storm to perfect us.
That's tomorrow when Ron shares part two of his message, Navigating the Perfect Storm. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.